process the kitchen, but immediately looked over as Alice and Oscar entered. Medical paraphernalia littered the floor. Paper packaging for bandages, tubing, gloves, and gauze squares. The island blocked the sight of the victim's body, but Alice could see his lower legs, noting he wore jeans and hiking boots. The rest of the body came into view as they neared the men, and she saw that several cuts and bruises dotted the victim's hands and arms. She and Oscar held out their IDs as introductions were made. The tallest man was Detective Rodden, the lead on the case, and the other was his lieutenant. Rodden intermittently chomped hard on blue gum as he spoke to the agents. Studying the body on the floor, Alice was unable to visually confirm that the victim was Assemblyman Derek Bell, as had been reported. Since he was a member of the California State Legislature, the FBI had been notified of his murder. Bell's face was a bloody, smashed-in mess.
"You positive that's the Assemblyman?"
asked Oscar.
"That could be anyone."
"That's him,"
Detective Rodden said forcefully.
"His wallet was in his pocket, and you can see the small mole beside his right eye. Hair color and its style are correct, too."
Alice moved to the other side of the body and spotted the mole. Detective Rodden held out the driver's license. The mole was identical, along with the victim's hair. From the license, she noticed the Assemblyman had just turned 32, and that Derek Bell had been a good-looking man. No evidence of that was left. She pointed at the cuts on his arms and hands.
"These defense wounds," said Rodden. "He fought back."
"They're not bloody," Alice stated. "Look at his face. Lots of blood, but these cuts have very little blood in them, if any. They were made when he was already dead." All the men stared at the body.
"You're right," said Rodden. "Someone beat him up when he was down. They may not have even known he was dead by then."
Rodden continued talking with occasional flashes of blue gum, relating a summary of what else they'd found. Alice listened with one ear, knowing Oscar would pay closer attention and make notes. She studied the body's position and then scanned the room. No broken windows. No damaged door or doorframe in the kitchen.
Did the killer simply walk in?
"What is that?" she asked, indicating a figurine on the floor several feet from the body.
"An elephant," said Rodden. "And yes, there's blood on it."
Alice squatted to get a better look at the piece. The cast iron elephant was a little larger than a coffee pot. It was heavily detailed, and she suspected it had been expensive. She looked around the room, spotting a few more elephants of all sizes and colors. Someone was a fan. She pushed at the elephant with her pen, barely able to move it. It was solid and very heavy.
Murder weapon?
Blood speckled the figurine, and its trunk formed a heavy hook. With enough muscle behind the object, it could do a lot of damage. She looked back at the victim's smashed face.
"All the doors were unlocked when the deputies arrived," said Rodden. "Front door was wide open. Didn't find any forced entry."
"Rest of the house?"
asked Oscar.
"No signs of any struggle anywhere. The master bed isn't made, and there were clothes in the laundry basket. Other than that, the rest of the house is extremely neat."
"Except in the kitchen."
Blood splatter had sprayed across four of the kitchen island's white cabinets. A thick pool of blood with swirling smears was 6 feet away, where more medical paper packaging clustered. Obvious shoe prints appeared in that blood, and there were more bloody smears on the floor around it. One of the forensic techs was shooting photos of the dark blood pool. A second tech was dusting the cabinets for fingerprints, and the third made notes on a clipboard.
"Blood was still fresh when the ambulance arrived," said Rodden. "I don't think it happened that long before."
"Who called it in?" asked Alice.
"Anonymous 911 call from the house landline."
He pointed at a cordless phone on the kitchen wall, its receiver covered in black dust.
"Who still has a landline?"
asked Oscar.
"In this more rural area, a number of people," said Rodden. "Cell service can be sketchy. The call was made by a female, whispering. I listened to it. She sounds terrified."